I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's never a bad time for a Woj bomb.
And to answer your question, this is the definition of a Woj bomb.
Okay. I would say on the scale of, if we were measuring it like a Richter scale, if there were a Woj scale, and for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, because not everybody is as dorky on the NBA Twitterverse as we are. Woj is Adrian Wojnarowski, the best in the business at covering the NBA.
Yes.
He is in tight on NBA coverage for ESPN.com. And I would say if we did the Woj bomb scale on a scale of 1 to 10, I don't know what the Richter scale, I don't know what the highest is on the Richter scale, Rich, but let's call the Woj scale 1 to 10. I would say this is a solid 6.5 or a 7.
I think for Houston sports fans, it's more than that.
Yeah, and I'm probably gauging the NBA fans at large because, selfishly, this is a big one here.
This is a dramatic development for Houston sports fans.
Okay, we'll dig into it. Here's what he tweeted earlier today. Sources, in calls to front offices, Houston GM Daryl Morey is showing an aggressive desire to improve the roster with all players and picks available in talks. This is Woj's opinion on this next part. Hard to imagine James Harden scenario, but the rest under contract, perhaps even Chris Paul, could be moved in the right deal. Part of the Woj bomb rating for me, Rich, is how shocked are you by this? Well, this tweet doesn't shock me.
That's the tweet. The post on ESPN.com.
Oh, okay. I didn't see this.
Reads, Rockets general manager Daryl Morey has made his entire roster and future draft picks available in trade talks. A dramatic initiative with hopes of reshaping the team into a championship contender. The possibility of trading Harden believed to be extremely limited, but the rest of the roster, including even Chris Paul and Clint Capella, could be more realistic trade targets. And like you said, Woj's sources are pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't mean any of this is going to happen, but certainly suggests that at a time when clearly the owner was upset with the eventual outcome of the Rockets' venture into the playoffs, and the general manager is someone who is almost pathologically shuffling the deck on an almost regular basis, that maybe we're headed for another significant shuffling of that deck.
That's why this doesn't surprise me. That's why I'm not as shocked by this as it sounds like you are, Rich, because I feel like these are the things that Daryl Morey was doing before Tillman Fertitta got here.
Yeah, shocking isn't the right word. Dramatic is the right word for me, because you're right. He absolutely
does it every year.
Yes, he's that guy. So it shouldn't surprise us. But I think, you know, the way they played in the second half of the season, after reshaping the roster on the fly, after getting relatively healthy, after locking down on the defensive end, I guess the meltdown against the Warriors was enough to suggest to them that something significant needs to change if we can do that.
Yeah, here's the thing, is that Woj tweeting this and Daryl Morey making a bunch of phone calls to people does not change the unflinchingly rigid fact that Chris Paul is owed $120-some-odd million over the next 3 years. It doesn't change the fact that James Harden's not going anywhere. Let me just say that right now. James Harden, I know it's floated in this tweet as a possibility.
Right.
And I'm sure if someone were to call offering something for James Harden, Daryl Morey's not going to block them on his phone. He's going to take the phone call and then casually, politely say, no, we're not trading James Harden. But I'm sure he'll listen to everything the same way he calls for everything. Daryl Morey is, if nothing else, I don't know what Daryl Morey is afraid of in life. We're all afraid of something. This I know. He is not afraid of being told no by other teams.
Yeah.
So
he
will drop lines in the water for everything. He'll make phone calls asking about everything. And if he gets a no 5 seconds into the conversation, he picks up and moves on with his day and goes and makes the next phone call.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. It's a sales mentality, really, is what it is. You make enough cold calls. You know, you make 100 cold calls in a day, and eventually you find 3 or 4 people that want to do business with you, that kind of thing. The numbers aren't the same in the NBA because you can only make so many deals, but that's how he approaches it. He approaches it by casting a wide net, knowing what exactly it is they're willing to offer, and it sounds like they're willing to offer up anything if the deal is right to make the Rockets a championship caliber team.
Well, look, Sean.
So we'll see, you know, so that this to me, Rich, is just it's couching what happens every offseason with Daryl Morey in a different way.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But coming from Woj, it just always carries more weight. But look, Game 6 against the Warriors, I think, showed us a lot, because there were moments where the Rockets just did not look like themselves, where the rhythm and the flow of what they had accomplished to that point was completely gone. And yes, you give the Warriors some credit for that, but the Rockets had ways. We saw it in Games 3 and 4. The Rockets had ways of getting what they wanted done on the court against this team. It felt like effort. It felt like smart decisions. It felt like they were just, get up and go, which just sounds as corny as hell, I know, but it just didn't feel like they had it in Game 6 against the Warriors. And then on top of that bad look to their play in that game, we get the reports of Harden and Paul sniping at each other afterwards and having some disagreements during the course of that game and after the game about how the offense was executed, which only feeds the school of thought that Daryl Morey and Tillman Fertitta are looking perhaps to make a dramatic change at the core of this team. And that dramatic change, we all know, would be finding someone to take Chris Paul off their hands. I think that's the only way you do it. I'm with you. I don't think they're trading James Harden. I think it's Chris Paul, and I think it's obviously a very limited number of teams that could possibly even have that conversation. And we all know, I think, the Lakers are at the top of that list.
Yeah, well, I think the other thing you need to factor in, Rich, is what are you getting in return for Chris Paul?
Of course.
Some team's not just going to take his contract off your hands out of charity. So
right.
How many of these first-round picks are you having to staple to him for a team to take it? More importantly—
But this is what Daryl does, flipping assets. It may not be about what he can get from the Lakers, but what he can flip those assets into for the Rockets.
That's fair. Then that's fair. Maybe they get something and they're able to trade it somewhere else. No, you're right. With Daryl Morey, it's not just this linear chess move of A to B. James Harden was acquired with assets that each took about 15 moves to go get, right? You know, he traded that first round pick that they had from Toronto in the Kyle Lowry deal. You know, Kevin Martin was something that came here after a series of trades that led to him coming here from Sacramento and other things. So you've got to make all these moves to eventually make the big move. So I get it. That's a fair point. I guess my point with all of this is that ultimately, James Harden is at an age, like, we blink now and James Harden's going to be 30. And I think his game is going to age fine, because he's not a guy whose game is built on explosiveness and athleticism. And the guy's been an Iron Man. He never gets hurt, it seems like. So I think his game is going to age fine. But we're burning daylight now. And so if you're going to make a move with Chris Paul, to me it's got to be a move that leads to something that makes you better in 2019, 2020.
There's no question about it. And that's also what Daryl does.
You don't have time to take two steps backwards to take three steps forward.
And that's also what Daryl has been almost expert at for most of his tenure as general manager, making significant changes to the roster without having to take a significant step backwards.
Because I want Chris Paul on this team.
But
I get not wanting to pay him $40 million a year. Like that, I understand that. I don't totally agree with the in-the-vacuum view of his contract, that it's a bad contract because you're paying him $40 million for this. The NBA salary cap is a very nuanced thing. And once you're operating above the cap, then at the end of the day, the only person that it literally matters to that you're paying Chris Paul $40 million is Tillman Fertitta, because he doesn't want to pay, possibly doesn't want to pay luxury tax, although I know there have been reports that for the right deal, he's willing to pay luxury
tax. And that's why I firmly believe that a conversation with Daryl Morey has taken place that went something like this. Hey, Daryl, I need you to talk to everyone out there who might have any interest whatsoever in Chris Paul and get back to me on what we might be able to get for him.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to have happened by now. There's no doubt. And we talked about it and we can joke about it a little bit, but you know, the billion-dollar buyer didn't get to be a billionaire by overspending, by foolishly spending. And again, no matter how you may feel about Chris Paul, 40 plus million a year, 124 million guaranteed over the next 3 years for a guy who at last glimpse appeared to be a guy that might have turned a corner as far as declining player is concerned, is not a good position to be in.
It's not a position that we should all be shocked by, right? Like,
no.
We knew when they traded for him. And that's the interesting thing, Rich, is that the deal for Chris Paul to go, at first it was going to be to sign him, and then they decided to do a trade with the Clippers because it was better for both parties, when they did that trade with the Clippers, what it did was push this long-term extension back another year, okay? Because Chris Paul opted into the last year of his previous deal and then did his free agent contract about a year ago, last offseason. What would have been interesting is that when Tillman Fertitta bought the Rockets, the Chris Paul trade was done. And I'm assuming that with the Chris Paul trade came some sort of wink-wink agreement that we're going to take care of you when the time comes next year to do a max deal. So Tillman walked into the Chris Paul experience. When he bought the team, Chris Paul was a Rocket already. And if we're to believe, and nobody said this publicly, but I think it's safe to assume that the Rockets and Chris Paul had some sort of arrangement because he was getting ready to sign a four-year deal with them before they opted in for the trade.
There's no doubt they did.
Right. So what would have been interesting is if Tillman Fertitta had bought the team before the Chris Paul deal. If Tillman Fertitta were the owner when Daryl Morey walked in and said, here's what we're being presented with right now, how would Tillman Fertitta have reacted to know that on the back end of this is going to be a four-year, $160 million deal for an aging point guard? Yeah. He might not have liked that deal. Mentality-wise, he might have looked at it and said, I'm going to be paying who for
right.
what?
Exactly. That's how I feel. This is such an interesting moment in the timeline of this Houston Rockets franchise right now because they've cleaned out D'Antoni's coaching staff. Five members of his staff are gone. D'Antoni and the Rockets have both said publicly, we want to get a deal done to extend Mike D'Antoni, but we're still waiting on that deal to be finalized. And until it is, well, it won't be official that Mike D'Antoni is still here. The report came out over the last day or two that the Rockets, as soon as Ty Lue was fired by the Cavaliers in October, reached out to see if he'd become a member of their organization. And, you know, Ty Lue feels like a Tillman Fertitta hire, kind of hire. Guy's been in three finals.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen until they announce the extension for D'Antoni. They've gutted his coaching staff. And it's one thing to assume that because he's Daryl Morey, that this offseason will include him taking all the phone calls he gets and making a number of calls and considering all possibilities. It's one thing to assume that and know who he is. It's another to have Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that all of this is on the table and could be discussed this offseason.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.